More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on More to Life, lights, camera, me! Does someone you care about act like everything is about them? Let's help you handle those entitled people in your life gracefully. 877-573-7825. All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to Life. Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with them.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, lights, camera, me. I'm just gonna put that on my business cards. I like that. I'm gonna go with that. No, we're talking about those people in our life, and we all have at least one person who's just really good at making everything about them. You know, whether that's somebody who really is so focused on their own needs that they never ask you about what yours are, who only reach out to you whenever they do need something, who are very particular about, you know, the way they get their needs met, regardless of how it inconveniences you. We all have that person, at least that one person.
At least one in our lives somewhere. And sometimes it takes us a good portion of our lives to figure out that that isn't okay, because they are so all-encompassing that we just end up rolling with it. They end up teaching us subliminally how to always cater to them.
Well,
and eventually we go, wait a minute, do I even exist? Do I get any of my needs met?
Yeah, well, and of course, we also know, right, as Christians, we're called to be generous.
Mm-hmm. This is true.
And so, you know, there's a certain guilt that a lot of us feel when we recognize that, you know, that the other person is being a little entitled or a little selfish or a little demanding. But often we feel like, well, the path to holiness is to just sort of suck it up, you know. And that's really not the case. And we'll explain why and what the alternative is as we talk through the show. But we fall into that place where, you know, we feel like somehow being taken advantage makes us more Christ-like. And so we end up.
Sometimes they remind us of that. Yeah. You know, we'll get, well, aren't you the Christian one, when we don't cater to everything they want?
Yeah. And so, you know, how do we respond to those situations gracefully? Because I think most of us intuit on some level that it's not good for us to let the other person continue to behave that way. But then we feel selfish setting boundaries with them. So we'll talk through all that today on More to Life. The number is 877-573-7825. Does somebody you care about act like everything's about them? We're going to help you handle those entitled people in your life gracefully.
Entitled, maybe narcissistic, but we're here for you today. So we're asking you, do you have someone in your life who acts like they're the star of the show? Maybe it's your spouse who's so focused on their own needs or feelings that they never even ask about yours. Maybe it's a grown child who only calls when they need something, or even an aging parent who insists on their way, regardless of how it complicates your life. Maybe you feel guilty even thinking about setting a limit, because you were raised to believe that good Christians just give and give and never ask for anything back. Or maybe you've tried to set some boundaries, only to be told that you were being selfish or unkind or unchristian. Let us help you handle these entitled people in your life with God's grace and set the loving boundaries that open the door to a healthier relationship for both of you.
Yeah, and that's really what our call is as Catholic Christians, to really witness to the kind of love, to the kind of relationships that God created us for, So let's talk about what that would look like in those situations with the entitled people in your life. 877-573-7825. Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's theology of the body. You know, I get it. You know, on one hand, it's like, well, how could some theology possibly help me deal more effectively with entitled people? But the theology of the body is unique because St. John Paul really asked the question, what would it look like for the Catholic person to thrive? You know, what would it look like for us to have the kinds of relationships that God created us for, the healthy, holy relationships that God wants us to live in? And his answer to those questions became what people now call the theology of the body.
And the theology of the body reminds us that relationships are meant to be mutually self-giving. God made us to be a gift to each other, and that means it's good and healthy to be open about our own needs and goals, as long as we're always making room for the needs and goals of the people around us, too. The natural back and forth that happens in mutual self-donation is a sign of healthy, holy relationship. But entitled people lose track of that. They can act like they're the only ones in the room with needs that matter.
Well, right. And so the loving thing to do isn't actually to disappear so that they can have the whole stage. It's to charitably remind them that there are other people in the room. You know, that's what a boundary actually is. Most folks hear the word boundary and they picture a wall, you know, something you put up to keep a person out. But a healthy boundary actually does the opposite. It's an invitation back into healthy relationship. You know, St. John Paul called this whole thing the personalistic norm. Basically, that just means that every person has a God-given right to be treated like a person and not a thing. So when I set a boundary with somebody who's acting in a selfish or entitled way, I'm not being selfish. I'm reminding them and myself that a godly relationship makes room for all the people in it.
And that's the difference between a more worldly approach of going along to get along and the Christian understanding of love as working for the ultimate good of the people around us. It's easier to give in to the demands of an entitled or narcissistic person, and they're kind of counting on exactly that. But it's in the giving, you know, it doesn't invite them to be healthier or holier. It doesn't allow me to participate in the kind of loving, mutually fulfilling relationships God created us for.
So here's what I'd like you to do, right? So the next time somebody acts like you only exist to serve their agenda, you know, don't get louder, don't shut down. Just say, I really want to help you with this, but we need to figure out how to do that and address my needs or concerns too. And then hold that line. Because that's how Christians teach, model, and encourage each other to love each other well. You know, not with our broken human love, but with the mutually self-giving love that comes from the heart of God.
And it's so important when we look at what St. John Paul II taught to us, that he emphasized for us, that we realize the difference between going along to get along. In other words, placating that more selfish or narcissistic person in the moment and actually living in a way that calls that person, as well as ourselves, but that person to a higher good. And that can feel kind of uncomfortable, especially when that pattern has gone on for a very long time. And calling them to that higher good doesn't mean lecturing them about it. It means doing exactly what we're talking about here. Really being able to invite them into a mutually self-donative situation, minute by minute, decision by decision, relationship point by relationship point. And that's hard to do when you've set a lot of patterns down over a long time. So let us help you today on More to Life at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and we'll start taking your questions. In the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come to you and we know that you call us to be generous to others, but you also, as your servant St. John Paul reminded us, call us to model the kind of love that comes from your heart not the love that comes naturally to us as broken, fallen human beings. And so, Lord, we give to you all of those relationships with the people in our life who can be a little entitled, you know, or demanding. Help us to know how to love them, how to be appropriately generous, responsibly loving, so that we can give ourselves to and use our gifts to work for their good, but to do it in ways that actually work for their good and help them be a little less entitled or selfish or demanding, so that we can encourage each other as Christians to make room for all the people in the relationship, just as you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, make room for each other in the Trinity. We ask all this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today's show titled, Lights, Camera, Me. We're talking about those times when somebody acts like they're the star of the show, where everything is about them. Give us a call at 877-573-7825 and tell us, is there someone in your life who acts like they are the star of the show? You know, whether it's your spouse who's so focused on their own needs that they never ask you about your needs or feelings, that grown child who only reaches out when they need something, that aging parent who insists on their way regardless of how it complicates your life. Let's talk it out and help you find grace-filled ways to respond to those entitled people in your life.
And sometimes, you know, the title that we're using here for the show is kind of tongue-in-cheek because it makes it sound very dramatic. But we're not only talking, and we're certainly not only talking about people who are sort of dramatic in personality and want, you know, everybody paying attention to them in sort of a positive way. We are talking about the people who use their illnesses, their complications or sufferings in life to be more demanding than anyone has a right to be and really drain you and don't care about what your needs are, whether that's financial, physical, emotional, or spiritual. We're talking about people who have set themselves up perhaps as the part-time deity of the family because they've been given the role as, you know, head of the family or whatever that is for generations.
Matriarch or patriarch.
Yes. And so it has to, every holiday has to be done their way. Every birthday has to be done their way. And if you don't do it the way it's always been done, then somehow they tell you are, you know, betraying them in some way. Wherever this lies in your life, you probably have someone or someone in your life who has someone who is putting them through this. And you know something has to change. Just not quite sure how to do it. Give us a call today and we'll help you out on More to Life at 877-573-7825. We have a question here that came in from Denise, who's listening in Indiana. She said, my sister has always been the center of attention in our family, and now that our mom is aging, she's making all the decisions about mom's care. I don't necessarily agree with some of the things she's doing, and I'm close by and available to help. But when I offer my help, or worse, my opinion, my sister tends to shut me out. I've tried talking to my mom about it, but she just says my sister likes to handle things and it's just easier to let her. I really feel frustrated being shut out like this. How can I get my sister to be more open to my help and ideas when it comes to caring for mom? And that's from Denise in Indiana.
Well, Denise, thank you so much for the question, and I think you have a beautiful heart, and I applaud you for your desire to be more present to your mom and to really be more involved in your mom's care. I think that's a really admirable thing. I would say that I want you to change your question here because, you know, how can you get your sister to be more open to your help? We can't ever get anyone else to do anything. We can't change the other person. You know, we can express to them what our desires or our needs or our preferences might be, but we can't force them to change. And you're doing that, right? And so I would encourage you to continue letting your sister know that you are available and that you are there to help. And if you disagree with something, then charitably saying, hey, have you considered thus and such? Or, you know, I appreciate what you're trying to do by making that choice, but have you considered X, Y, and Z? Because that's a charitable way to bring up concerns, right? It's not, I don't like what you're doing. I'm not saying you're doing that, but just to be clear.
Clear for everyone.
You know, if you have a concern about the choices that your sister's making, being able to address it by pointing to the concern that she might be missing. You know, I see that you've chosen to do thus and such. have you considered how that might, you know, either bring about this situation or how you would respond to this concern down that path, and see what she says. That said, you can't make her do anything different. And I want to kind of tease out the two levels of the problem here. So there's there's the practical problem, which I believe is genuine, where you would like to help more. And it's frustrating to not be able to demonstrate your love and care for your mom. But then there's the mom loves my sister best undercurrent here that you're trying to solve through this as well. And I want you to look at that, because that's what complicates being able to respond to this kind of stuff in a healthy, truly kind of Christian way. Because if I'm correct that there's also the who does mom love best kind of thing going on underneath this, then that's going to emotionally load this whole issue with a lot of unspoken stuff that's going to cause you to come off more intensely than you're going to want to, and make it even more easier for your sister and your mom to dismiss you. Because if you're able to just sort of present, okay, well, these are the facts of the situation, this is what I see, this is what I would like to do, and then you accept the way things are, right, and kind of get on with your life, then you're doing everything that God would ask you to do. You're making yourself present. You're saying, I'm available to help. You're putting your oar in an appropriate way. But then you're accepting, all right, well, this is the way it is, and so now I will do this instead. And that lets everybody know where you stand, and that you're available, but they can choose what they want to do with that. If the situation is emotionally loaded with that who does mom love best thing, which a lot of us go through, then what's going to happen is you're going to try to force things to be your way to try to make, well, or to prove this, you know, to kind of use the situation to prove that mom loves you too. And that's where it's going to start looking a little desperate, and you're not really going to be, you're going to be coming across in a way that, like I said before, is easier to dismiss, because you're going to accidentally introduce drama into it that you know, because you're going to be trying to change the other people.
Because we have a tendency when we're in this sort of situation as adult children, especially, where we have one sibling who is sort of the head of everything and we can't get a word in edgewise. Or in a lot of other situations like this, we either ask for permission to exist in our parents' lives or in the situation, or we cause a fight because we think fighting is what's going to change things. And neither one of those things is really necessary. You do what Greg is saying here. You also, because you're saying, Denise, that you live fairly close by, it's fine for you to just go see your mom, bring her some treats or groceries, take her out for the day without begging your sister for permission. Allow yourself to be part of it without being in that one down, I have to get permission for my sister for everything. Unless, of course, your mother is bedridden and it would harm her in some way. But just be present, be loving, be what you can be, and bring up those concerns in the way that Greg is saying.
But also kind of then accept, you know, what you can do and what you can't right. do, as opposed to trying to force everybody to change. All right, thank you for the question. If there's more we can do to support you through this, because I realize this is a very emotional issue, don't hesitate to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. But I do believe the suggestions we've made here on the call will get you started. And we are taking your calls, listeners, right now at 877-573-7825. Our show today titled Lights, Camera, Me, where we're talking about those kind of entitled, maybe slightly around the edges, narcissistic people, those folks who are kind of demanding, particular, regardless of how that inconveniences or makes your life more difficult. We want to help you deal gracefully in a healthy, holy way with those folks and those situations. Give us a call. The number is 877-573-7825. When we come back, in addition to taking your questions, we'll be joined by Rachel Isaac. She is a pastoral counselor with CatholicCounselors.com, where she directs our faith-based program in performance excellence. She's going to be talking about how she helps her clients cultivate the confidence they need to get their needs met. 877-573-7825 is the number to call with your questions about dealing with those entitled people in your life. Let's talk it out, and more to life continues after the break.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
I want you to have such confidence in the Lord that you'll find such hope and see the beauty of the Lord, the majesty of God. What did our Lord say, huh? If your sins are as scarlet, oh, what? What's going to happen? They shall be made white as snow.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today on More to Life, lights, camera, me, as we talk about dealing gracefully with those entitled people in your life. 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Rachel Isaac. She is a pastoral counselor with CatholicCounselors.com. She specializes in the psychology of success, and she directs our faith-based program in performance excellence. Rachel, welcome to More to Life.
Thank you for having me.
So you wanted to share a little bit about how you help your clients cultivate the confidence they need to get their needs met.
We often, I think, can fall into a habit of assuming that other people are mind readers. And if we have a need and we're feeling neglected in meeting that need in some way, we tend to think that maybe if I'm quiet enough or if I yell enough, the other person will get the hint that something's wrong and they'll do what they need to do to fix it. But this approach honestly really just hurts our feelings. It hurts our relationships, and it creates more distance between us and the other person. So although it can definitely be hard sometimes, we have to remember that it's our job to teach other people how to be in relationship with us, no matter how long we've been in relationship with that person. So one of the questions...
And I apologize for interrupting, but I want to also say, and that is true in general, but that is also the kind of the mission for the Christian, to teach, to encourage us and model for others how to live out God's love in our relationships, as opposed to maybe just what comes naturally to us. But please go on.
Absolutely. So one of the questions that I ask my clients is, what are you hoping someone else notices that maybe you've never actually said out loud? And it's kind of amazing how quickly the answer comes out. Usually it's, I wish my husband would help more, or I wish my boss understood how much I'm carrying, or I wish my kids appreciated everything that I do, or I just wish people knew I needed a break. But then I ask them, have you ever actually told them? And usually the answer is no, because underneath is this fear that if I ask for what I need, people will think I'm selfish or I'm weak or I'm too much, or they'll just reject me altogether. But the reality is that needs aren't weaknesses. Needs are part of being human. Even Jesus had needs. He withdrew to pray. He rested. He accepted help carrying his cross. Now, communicating our needs, no, it does not guarantee that the response will be what we would like, but that is where boundaries come in, because a boundary isn't about controlling other person's behavior. It's deciding what you are going to do if your need continues to go unmet. How will you respond to ensure that you're taking yourself seriously, whether the other person is taking you seriously or not? I always remind people that confidence isn't a feeling, it's a practice. So every time you communicate a need respectfully, every time you follow through on a healthy boundary, you're teaching your brain, I can take care of myself without abandoning other people. And honestly, even more importantly, my worth doesn't depend on keeping everyone else happy. So I'd really encourage you to ask yourself three questions. One, what do I need right now? Two, have I actually communicated that need? And three, if that need continues to go unmet, what healthy boundary do I need to put in place to ensure my need is met regardless? Because expressing your needs and setting boundaries isn't selfish or unnecessary. They're acts of stewardship for yourself and for your relationships.
I like the way you put that, that they're acts of stewardship. I mean, you know, again, we're not talking about saying, oh, well, you know, my needs matter more than yours. What we're saying is, you know, me too. It's like your needs matter, but also this, and we can work together to figure out how to attend to each other's needs and concerns. And I think the more, and like you said, that the more we do that, the more we are fulfilling our Christian obligation to build the kingdom of God by making sure that all of our relationships are rooted in that mutually self-giving love that St. John Paul talks about. Rachel, thank you so much for being with us. Great insights, great advice. And if folks would like to learn more about your work, I really encourage them to come on over to CatholicCounselors.com, where they can learn more about our faith-based program in performance excellence, where you work with Catholic athletes, performers, executives, and other folks who need to be their best under pressure. Thanks for being with us, Rachel. Always a pleasure.
Thank you for having me.
And we are taking your calls, listeners, right now at 877-573-7825. Let's talk about those times when you've got some maybe a demanding, entitled, particular person in your life who is really good at expressing their needs, but not so good at maybe making room for yours. How do we handle it? 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your questions coming up right after the break.
The Catholic Church teaches that Jesus Christ is literally and wholly present, body and blood, soul and divinity, under the appearances of bread and wine. Feeding 5,000 from a boy's 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, as recorded in John chapter 6, is quite a miracle. Yet the next day, Jesus downplays it in verse 27. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. Likewise, God's provision of manna to the Israelites in the desert was also a great miracle. Yet Jesus similarly downplays it in verse 49. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, but they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. Jesus is clearly stating that his Eucharist is greater than both of these amazing miracles, and the Catholic Church absolutely takes him at his word. Examining the truths of the Catholic faith, this is faithforensics.org.
How does God's method of governing provide a role model for human governors? God is a delegator. He has not, the Catholic Catechism points out, willed to reserve to himself all exercise of power. He entrusts to every creature the functions it is capable of performing according to the capacity of its own nature. God displays great regard for human freedom. Inspired by God, human governors should behave as instruments of divine providence and practice the principle of subsidiarity, which ordains that a community of a higher order should not interfere in the internal life of a community of a lower order, depriving the latter of its functions. The Catechism stresses that the principle of subsidiarity sets limits on state intervention. The collective ends of society can never justify using means that trample individual rights. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Hi, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Do you feel like you're constantly being pulled into someone else's chaos? Maybe it's a family member who turns everything into a crisis, or a spouse who can't have a disagreement without it turning into World War III. In my book, God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, I share a simple but powerful principle. You don't need anyone's permission to set a limit. Most people's boundaries fail because they're really asking the other person to approve the boundary. But a healthy boundary is something you set because you believe it's necessary for a healthier relationship moving forward. Stop asking permission to do what's necessary to be your best self, encourage the people around you to be their best, and to work toward healthier, holier relationships in your life. A peacemaker isn't a smoother overer. They're guardians of right order. And that's why Christ called them blessed. For more help on creating healthy, holy relationships, check out God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, or visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. And today on More to Life, lights, camera, me. As we talk about dealing with those entitled, maybe a little around the edges, narcissistic people who are really good at expressing what their needs are, what their expectations are, but not quite so good for making room for you or yours. 877-573-7825 is the number to call with your questions about that spouse who's really good at letting you know what their needs are, but never really asking about your needs or feelings. That parent who's very particular about how they want to be cared for in their old age, but regardless of whether that works for you, that adult child who only reaches out when they need something, that friend who never calls you, but you're always chasing after. You know, there are lots of times where we run into a situation where we feel like we're dealing with an entitled person. How do we deal with that gracefully? 877-573-7825.
Well, before we go to our next caller, we want to celebrate another affiliate who is celebrating an anniversary. KFUZ FM 103.3, serving Clarkston, Washington. It's been on the air now for 11 years.
Congratulations to John Fazzari and everybody at Clarkston Catholic Radio from all of us here at EWTN. And if you are tuning in to EWTN Radio, then we want to make sure that you support your local EWTN Radio affiliate with your prayers, for sure, but with your dollars as well. Let's keep Catholic radio going strong for decades to come so EWTN can keep supporting you and your loved ones and living a more faithful, joyful, and abundant life. Congratulations again to John Fazzari and his great team at Clarkston Catholic Radio, and thanks to everyone who makes Catholic radio possible, especially you, the listener. 877-573-7825. Again, that 877-573-7825. We're talking with you today about those times when we're dealing with somebody we care about who maybe comes off a little entitled. How do we deal gracefully with that person? You know, you're not just rolling over, you know, and doing whatever they say, not being mean and saying, well, no to your needs and yes to mine, but how do we make room for both of us in that relationship? 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Liz, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Florida.
Hi, Liz. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Well, so my kind of an observation, but a question, because it was so intriguing as I got in the car. I was listening on Sirius. So I think this is very relevant, at least for me, with people working through a 12-step. So if you figure, like, I'm an Al-Anon side, like I am, and, you know, in a loving relationship where somebody has maybe been in treatment and gotten out, when you're on the outside of that, you know, you're it's very hard to kind of express, I can speak for me, your needs and getting back to proper communication, because you so want to support the person who's been through the very difficult part of, you know, of recovery. And so I just, it was intriguing, and I wanted to know if you felt like that was hand in hand in many ways, and maybe some advice for anybody that may be going through a similar situation in, you know, kind of how to have do that, you know.
Sure. And I love this question, Liz. And I think that one of the things that you brought out as you started your question is that you're on the support team side of this. You know, when you're in somebody who is in Alateen, Al-Anon, something where they're getting the support that they also need to help this person recover and to deal with what you've dealt with. Because when somebody has any kind of addiction, their addiction has been the ringmaster of everybody's life for a very long time. And then we really do, as support team, as family members, as loved ones, need that extra support to know how to handle it. Because it's so easy to say, okay, they're in sobriety, they're working the program. If I do anything to shake it up, maybe they'll fall off and everything will go bad. And we get scared. But we need to be, A, supported ourselves, and B, dealing with our own needs and the ways we express them, the way we've been talking about on the show today, because that's inviting that person who has been steeped in addiction and, unfortunately, because of addiction, the selfishness it brings, for a very long time. And they are needing to learn how to have that more mutually self-donative relationship. And if we just keep walking on eggshells, we're not really working for their ultimate good by inviting them into that.
Yeah, so, you know, for the person in your position, Liz, I think the best thing to do is really clarify for ourselves, what does a healthy relationship look like? And then really supportively expecting the other person to kind of come around to that. You know, so you know, again, Lisa was just kind of pointing out, you know, setting boundaries with somebody who's going through a program, you know, seems like we're adding burdens to their life. But what we're really doing is, if we can do it charitably, is teach them how to live, right? Because the person who has been, you know, addicted to alcohol or drugs, they've been avoiding life. Right? They've been running away from things and not knowing how to deal with things. And so now they're in a program or they're in counseling or both. They need to learn how to have those healthy relationships, which means advocating for their own needs, but also making space for yours. So in saying to that person, you know, hey, look, you know, I want you to be able to do X, Y, or Z, whatever it is that their concern or their need is, but let's figure out how to do it in a way that also addresses this.
And I think it's very important for anyone who is in relationship with somebody who's in recovery, and, you know, they're in recovery the rest of their lives, and so we're in that sort of situation for the rest of ours, to not only be getting the great support that comes with the different programs that are attached to Alcoholics Anonymous or Narcanon or any of those things, to continue that relationship, but also, if at all possible, be in a counseling or therapeutic relationship, because we often can get kind of go down the drain of old thinking patterns in relationship with somebody who's been addicted to something, being afraid, walking on eggshells, not knowing how to react. So to have somebody who walks through this with us, knows the situation, and can help give us clearer guidance on, okay, this trigger happened, that thing is going on, this is how you deal with it in a healthy way for both of you. That can be vital in both the recovery of the addict, but also the recovery of the relationship.
Yeah, thank you for the question, Liz. And actually, kind of dovetails into something else that I was praying about whether to talk about today or not. But so the other day, and this will be illustrative for you, Liz, but also for other listeners who might be in this situation. You know, so the other day we got a call from a woman whose 27-year-old son had been living with her for a time, but he was going through some problems. You know, we didn't get into a lot of detail about it, but there was some drug and alcohol stuff. But at the very least, he had been very unkind to her, and so she had to ask him to leave. And so now, you know, she kind of heard through the grapevine that he was kind of working his way back to her and was probably going to ask to move back in, and she was asking, well, should I let him? And, you know, we gave her some principles that said, look, yes, by all means, if the support you're going to give him is going to help him take more responsibility for his life. But if letting him just come back the way he is sets up a situation where you're basically leading him back into not being able to handle himself and either, you know, be cruel to you or be self-destructive because now he has a safe place to be self-destructive in, that's not a healthy thing to do. So the we didn't say whether she should let him move back or not, but what we said, the principle is what's going to really encourage him to be better and take more responsibility for his own life. If you can let him back and that allows him to go to a 12-step program or get involved in counseling or get a job or whatever, well, then that's great, because then you're giving him a safe place to launch into a healthier life. But if letting him come back means that he's going to take more advantage of you or be abusive in some way or, you know, use your generosity to destroy his own life, well, then that's not the loving thing to do. And she sent me an email afterward complaining and saying, well, it certainly doesn't seem very Christian for me to let my son be homeless. Now, I didn't say that. That's not the advice that we gave. But it's certainly an option if, in fact, he needs to experience the consequences of those actions. And this is what goes to your question, Liz. You know, when you're helping somebody in recovery, sometimes you have to set those limits where they're facing the consequences of their decisions so that they can make change. And that feels awful for us, right? It doesn't feel very Christian to say, well, look, yes, you can come and live with me, but only if you're in a program, or only if you're working to get a job, or only if you're trying to take control of your life. If you want to keep acting the way you are, then no, you can't live here because I can't support you in destroying yourself. Now, and that's true, and it's good, and it's healthy, but it feels awful. Right, and we can feel like, well, that's not very Christian of me.
And we're also afraid of the judgment of other people because we are trying to be our best Christian selves. We know that that is experienced by people who observe our lives, or the people we think are observing our lives who just live in our heads. And we're thinking, well, if I let my child suffer in any way, even if it's going to add to their growth, invite them to be healthier and holier, nobody's going to see it as that. They're going to judge me as being a terrible person. It messes with our own heads.
But both St. John Paul and Pope Benedict really affirmed that, you know, that we have to be careful to not confuse sentiment with real love. You know, sentiment is when our feelings drive the bus. When we say, oh, well, I feel bad for them. And whether, you know, and so I must do this because I feel bad. Whether or not doing that thing would actually work for their ultimate good or not. Because if I do something because I feel bad for somebody, but it's not going to do any good for them, then I'm doing that to make myself feel good. I'm not actually doing it to be loving. I'm doing it because I feel bad and I want to make myself feel better. And that's not really love. But if whatever I'm doing is ordered to invite the other person to be a healthier, holier person, then even if it's hard or even if it feels bad, I need to do it because that's what Christian love requires of me. So going back to your question, Liz, that's the thing I think for the person who has been in, who has been on the receiving end of addiction, who has been in that more, you know, enabling or codependent place in the past, who's trying to learn their way out of it. That's why this is so important to learn, because we're at war with our feelings about what real love looks like in practice. But great question, Liz. Thank you so much for teeing that up. 877-573-7825 today, the show titled Lights, Camera, Me, as we talk about people in our lives who can come off a little entitled, a little demanding, and, you know, how do we deal with that, especially when we're feeling guilty? 877-573-7825. As we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Philippians chapter 2, verse 4.
Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others.
And just again, a reminder here that relationships, this is not a novel thing that St. John Paul came up with, the idea that Christian relationships are meant to be mutually self-giving. St. Paul's talking about it here in his letter to the Philippians, that we need to look to each other's needs. And again, that doesn't just mean, okay, you look to other people's needs. It means you look to each other's needs. So we make room for each other in the relationship, just as the Trinity. You know, our whole theology of the Trinity is Father, Son, Holy Spirit make space for each other. They are one God, but three persons, and they get to be three distinct persons because they make room for each other to be those persons. And in a similar way, being made in the image and likeness of God, Christian relationships look like that. We are called to be one in Christ, but we are called to make space for each other to express our needs and opinions and desires and wants, and work together to meet all those things in ways that are respectful of everybody else in the relationship.
And it's important for those of us who have been in a situation where somebody has sort of, without us realizing it, trained us into walking on eggshells around them, doing their bidding, never making a fuss about our own needs, but always serving their greater good. We look at a scripture like this and we think, oh, well, that means me. I can't look to my own interests. I have to look to the interest of others. No, it says not only to his own interest, but that says we do need to take care of ourselves, have our own interest, be able, as Rachel Isaac was saying earlier, verbalize those needs and interests to the other, and expect the other to look toward ours as well. So mutual self-donation is what this is all about.
877-573-7825. The show today titled Lights, Camera, Me, as we talk about those people who can be a little entitled, a little demanding, maybe even a little narcissistic. 877-573-7825. How do we deal gracefully with those folks? Let's talk it out. 877-573-7825. More to Life. We'll be back with more of your questions after this.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Are you struggling with a persistent emotional or relationship problem? Maybe those thoughts and feelings won't leave you alone, or your marriage has grown distant, or a wound from your past still aches. Too many of us tell us that we should be able to handle it alone, or that good Catholics shouldn't need help. That's not true. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, founder of CatholicCounselors.com. My team of pastoral counselors will help you find solutions rooted in solid psychology and our Catholic faith, so you don't have to choose between getting real help and staying true to what you believe. Visit CatholicCounselors.com and discover how we can help your faith, life, and relationships flourish.
Life is hard and we have to struggle against so much, including the ongoing struggle against our own sinfulness. And sometimes we just want to say, no more, I'm done. But God isn't done with you. I'm Dr. Marcus Peter, and in my book, Not Finished Yet, I can show you how God has already begun a wondrous work in you, in each of us, and only needs your cooperation. Find Not Finished Yet and all of our other books on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
This Ave Maria program brought to you in part by the following nonprofit.
One of the greatest threats to your family isn't a disaster or a virus, but addiction. In nearly every family and every pew, someone is silently struggling. Beginning July 11th, Shalom World TV and the iThirst Initiative present Unshackled, a powerful new series on the Catholic Church's response to the addiction crisis, bringing together leading voices to discuss real healing. Stream it free at shalomworld.org or on the Shalom World app today.
Want more tips for living an abundant life through the theology of the body? Follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa and on Instagram at Catholic Counselors.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. And today on More to Life, Lights, Camera, Me, as we talk about those people in our life who can be a little entitled, a little demanding, how do we handle them gracefully? 877-573-7825.
Well, Colleen, who's listening in Massachusetts, has a question for us. She says, my husband is a good man in lots of ways, but our whole life is organized around his moods, his hobbies, and his schedule. I'm constantly having to be on high alert about his moods. If I bring up something that I need, he'll say, okay, but then nothing changes. And eventually I just stop bringing things up because it's not worth the sigh and the eye roll and the grunts. I don't want to nag him, and I don't want to leave. I just want to feel like I matter in my own marriage again. Is it possible to change the way things are when we've been living like this 4 years? And that's from Colleen.
Yes, Colleen, thank you so much for the question. I can certainly understand how frustrating that would be to be, kind of be in the situation that you're describing. And this is, I think, one of the ways that marriage invites both husband and wife to heal certain wounds that make it difficult for them to love the way Christ wants them to love. You know, it's clear that your husband grew up in an environment where he didn't learn to make space for other people. And I think you grew up in an environment where you didn't know that your needs mattered unless you got permission for them to matter. And so sometimes God brings those two people together so that they can learn, you know, so that your husband can learn to make space for you. And you can learn that whether somebody else is making that space, that your needs still matter and you have a right to assert yourself. There's no way to do this without rocking the boat a little bit, but there's a way to do it without sinking the boat, right? And that's what you want to be focusing on. So, you know, your best bet, you know, if you need something, right? You're going to have to force this issue. It's not going to happen naturally. It's not going to happen because you said, hey, honey, make space for my needs. He doesn't know how to do that, any more than you are comfortable asserting yourself. So, and it may require some counseling to figure out how to do this charitably for both of you. But here's where you start. You know, the next time you go and you say, "Hey, honey, I need X from you," you know, and let's try to let's keep it concrete just to keep it simple for the sake of the call here. But it applies really in emotional things too. But let's say, I really need to have the sink fixed or whatever, you know, some practical thing. And he says, yeah, okay, I'll get to it. It's like, well, hey, honey, then give it a time limit. Say, I really need it to be handled by thus and such a time. Can you do that? And he says, yeah, okay, fine. So you let it go. And let's say he says, I'll do it by Friday, or whatever time you give him. Let's say Friday comes and goes, and he doesn't say anything. Don't bring it up again. The next thing you do is you call the plumber, and you handle it. Or you come up with your own plan to handle it, and you do it. And then later on, when he sees the bill, or he sees the... No, again, I don't want you to bankrupt yourself. Use your good sense, right?
Yes.
But make a plan to address it instead of saying, well, I guess I can't meet my need because my husband didn't give me permission to meet it. You make your plan and you enact your plan. And then whenever he complains about it afterward because he sees the bill or he sees the thing was fixed and said, I'd take care of that or whatever, you say, well, honey, I didn't want to nag you. I asked you if you could help. I said I needed it done by thus and such. It didn't happen, so I handled it. Now, what that says to him is that you are a charitable person to be reckoned with, right? You're not being mean. You're not nagging. You're not lecturing. You're not hounding. You're not resenting. You're just handling it. And what you're saying is, I will always come to you first to ask for a plan with you and to try to be a partner with you. But I am no longer taking your lack of desire to partner with me as somehow denied permission to meet my need.
Now, you're not actually saying that sentence to him. You're not lecturing him again. You're just getting the need met and showing him that a shift is happening. And he can either get on board, and when he says, oh, yeah, I'll do it by Friday, do it by Friday, or explain to you a better time he can do it. Maybe he can do it by Friday, but boy, he can do it over the weekend because he'll have more time. But he comes to you with that. And you're working as a team rather than you always asking him to do something as though you're asking him for permission to breathe and live and have a house that functions.
And the thing is, this is the Christian response to it. It doesn't feel like it, right? But it is, because, again, the model for healthy Christian relationships is mutual self-giving, right? And so the reason you're having to do this is because your husband is resistant to that idea. And so it's your job then to kind of press that. It's like, no, I love you too much to let you continue to create this kind of one-sided marriage. We're going to make space for each other. We're going to learn to be mutually self-giving. So, you know, I'm going to come to you always and ask, hey, let's come up with a plan for this. But his refusal to participate in that conversation or to take that conversation seriously does not mean that you don't have permission to meet your needs. Your needs come to you from God. And so you're a fully grown adult who is capable of making those plans and solutions on your own. You're going to try to involve him, but if he doesn't want to even be involved, that gives you permission to handle it. And then if he complains about it afterward, you come back and say, great, next time, how can we handle this together? But the answer isn't that you just swallow your needs and become resentful over time. Now, again, the art of doing this is a little more complicated. So it's hard to do it charitably. You know, it's hard to do it in the calm way that I'm talking about. But that's the way forward. And if you're struggling with making that happen, I'd really encourage you to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com, where we can really help you learn how to charitably assert your needs in a way that's still respectful of your husband's concerns and in the integrity of the marriage, but that allows you to, as you put it, matter in your own relationship. Thank you so much for the question, Colleen. We really appreciate your call. And, you know, in the last minute of the show, one of the really brilliant insights of the theology of the body is what does a healthy relationship, a healthy Christian relationship look like? And this idea of this kind of mutually self-giving relationship. And it encourages us then to really do the hard work of making sure that everybody in the relationship is making space for everybody else in the relationship. That doesn't come naturally to us as broken, fallen human beings, but building the kingdom of God really means asserting that vision of love that doesn't come from our own broken vision of human love, but rather from the love that comes from God's own heart. That's our job, and that's hard work, but that's what building the kingdom looks like. And so if you are in a position where you're dealing with somebody who is kind of entitled or demanding or a little narcissistic, then you can still be compassionate and you can still be loving and empathetic. But you say, look, I'm absolutely committed to helping you meet your needs or address your concerns or listen to what you have to say, but we need to make space for these concerns and needs that I have as well. Let's come up with a plan that would make that work. And you hold that line, because that's what a healthy Christian relationship looks like, and that's what our obligation as Christians is to stand for, because that's how we build the kingdom. If you're struggling to make that happen, reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. We'll work with you to walk through those steps and hook you up with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to transform your marriage, family, or personal life in the light of God's grace. That's CatholicCounselors.com. Thanks for tuning in. Until next time, remember that with God's grace, there is so much more to life. Have a blessed day.
More to Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Don't ever miss another episode of More to Life. Subscribe to the podcast at AveMariaRadio.net.